Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Luke chapter 11, verse 33. God has something for you in here. There's been a great consternation over this message and even getting here today. So I feel that there's great power going out through his word today, as there always is. But be open to it and be open to God's leading and his strength as he reveals it to you. Luke chapter 11, we've been just crawling through this chapter. Beautiful insights that God has in here for us to glean. We're going to pick up in verse 33 and we're going to talk about light. Probably only cover a few verses today. So don't get impatient like, wow, we're going to be here all day. He's only got three verses done. I've been over there saying, I know that feeling. is he just starting or? Luke chapter 11, verse 33. No man, when he has lighted a candle or a lamp, puts it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single or healthy, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, means pay attention, listen up, be careful, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle or a lamp does give thee light. Jesus is talking about light. You guys just shared a whole bunch of verses about light. I'm probably going to add a few more as we go through here. I happen to like light, and you probably do too. It's a delight to have the sunrise in the morning greet you. I love sunlight, his created light. I love God who is light, the real light. When you're spending time with God, you are basking in his light, his brilliance. And it's a comforting thought, being in such brilliant light. I think there's one of the songs, I don't think we did it today, but it talks about when darkness closes in. And we feel that on a day-to-day basis, we feel that. And it's comforting to get in the light of God, to have his scripture just dispel that darkness. So there's comfort in the light that God provides. When I open his word, his light fills the environment around me, my mind, my internal being, and everything around me. These verses speak of us radiating light. The light that we radiate. And it was read this morning by one of the young people here today from Matthew 5, that ye are the light of the world. Jesus, looking at the people, saying, you are the light of the world, speaking to his disciples, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a lampstand or a candlestick. It gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So that passage that was shared with us today, Matthew speaks of that in the sense of good works, Jesus speaking in that context, that light is seen. It's good works. That's living the example. And that's the obvious part of light in the spiritual aspect of your life. It's the works that you do. It's the things that people see. But here in Luke, we are looking a little deeper into the lamp itself. What's inside the bulb? Where does this light come from? Where does it come from? How do we become light? How do we radiate this light? Understand that it ends up in being some type of action in my life. It changes my life. I do things differently. But let me dig into, and this is what Luke is doing here, and the provision that Jesus is speaking here of this chapter. Where does this light come from? What is this light? How do we become light? What is light? Do we really know? Can you pour it in a cup and stick it on a scale and weigh it? Going back to Genesis, we know the first thing that was cast on the canvas of creation was light. If God is light, then the created light would be something that represents Him. The light that we experience is created light. God created light, said, "Let there be light." That light represents Him. We know God is light. Yet this light that He created, which represents Him, has no shape. It just fills everything so wonderfully. Could you imagine if the light did not fill like it does? It was just so focused, it would be just a beam pointing to the floor and everything else dark around it. That would make things difficult. It is not energy, it's not material, it's light. We try to say it is energy because it behaves like energy, and we try to say it's material. We say it's made of photon particles. But really, light has properties in both camps because it's unique, it's singular. It's something of its own. Yet it's infinite. If you take the spectrum of light, of all the colors in it, there's an infinite amount of colors. At the same time, we perceive that in three different colors, red, green, and blue. Light is singular, one. Light is infinite in its spectrum of colors. Yet He has designed our eyes with three different color cones, red, green, and blue, that we perceive light and all the different shades in between. One, infinite, and three. Does that sound familiar? A light bulb has a filament, tungsten wire, with electricity running through. Do people know that or care when they walk in the room? No, they just experience the light that it provides without really thinking about how it comes to be. I think about these things when I'm up in a tree stand. Could you imagine if light was slow? You turn on the light and it kind of rolls out slowly and then eventually fills the room, kind of like a heater, where you turn it on and then you're cold for a while and waiting for the radiant heat to come to you. Can you imagine if light was like that? Poof, and it just, it's taking its time, just filling the darkness. We know light is quite fast and it fills all the spaces in less than a blink of an eye. If light was slow, if that were the case, given the same energy in this universe, everything would be very heavy. Because we know E equals MC squared, right? We know there's a relationship between energy, light, and matter. So if we made light real slow like that, everything would get really heavy. There's a relationship between light, my physical matter, and energy. It's a triunity of a relationship there. But just playing with these things, you could just have fun. If I were to reduce from the millions of miles an hour that light is down to just a couple feet per second, I would be millions and millions of tons of weight. My mass would be increasing just to the conservation of energy in this universe. So I'm going to get into a little bit of science. Bear with me if it bores you, science, a little bit. I won't do this every Sunday, I promise. But if you want to gain weight, just slow down light. If you want to lose weight, speed up light. If I shift the other way and speed up light, I would become light as air. I believe God's substance is a light that is not bound by time and space. It's not limited to a certain speed. In other words, it's infinite. He is light, and it's an infinite light. This allows Him to be omnipresent. What's that mean? Everywhere, all the time. Is that Josh? Way to go, man. All places at once. Well, I can't understand that. How could He be everywhere at once? Well, just start thinking about these things when you're up in a tree stand. It'll make sense. He's also omniscient. That's knowing all things all the time. These understandings in His creation help us understand the passages that say things like His thoughts are as grains of sand towards you, towards Kelsey, towards Gretchen, to everybody here. His thoughts, just to you, are as numerous as the grains of sand on this earth. Yeah, that's possible because he's infinite. He is light, and it's not bound by a certain speed. He is an infinite light. It helps us understand that how he could think of us so much in just one instant. The grains of sands of the oceans, uncountable, infinite. And that's just towards you. God operates in a realm of the infinite, a concept that every scientist, mathematician knows exists. We know infinity exists. You learn about it in school. They represent it with a little symbol like this. It's an eight that fell over sideways for because it couldn't figure it all out, I guess. So infinity, we work it into calculations. We understand it exists. No scientist says, you know what? I don't believe in infinity. But yet they do, and nobody can prove it. You cannot prove infinity. God operates in the realm of the infinite. A concept that we accept, yet cannot control or operate with. Just the fact that someone can say infinite exists, infinity exists, but God doesn't exist. It's counterintuitive. It's counterintelligence. It's dumb. God operates in the realm of infinite. We operate in the finite. Finite means tick, tick, tick. I can't wait to get out of here. We operate in the realm of the finite. We can't turn the clock back. There's certain things that we realm. Light has a certain speed to it. Creation is in the finite. God operates in the infinite, the infinite, outside of those things. He's not limited by time and space and speed. We believe in the infinite, yet we will say no to God. It doesn't make sense to me. Great mathematicians, though, and great scientists will embrace God, though. Even through math, some have found God because of these kind of things. Doing math, oh, as boring as math can be, it blows the mind of some. My father is like that. Big books on math. Loves it. Sorry, Dad. I like it, but I am glad some have found God through the revelation of the mystery of even numbers and math and the concept of infinity. I like to show people as witness to them about God that he is a single being, yet infinite, yet three, with a simple illustration. Light is one that we talked about, but just take math. Take the number one and divide it by three. What's the answer? You can't answer that. You can't answer that. Take one and divide it by three. Well, it's 0.33333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333 find the answer. So the math teacher will say, well, here's what you do. You put a bar over it, and that represents infinity. Does the threes go on forever? Well, prove it, teacher. How do you know that? Have you explored eternity? Have you explored the infinite? Do you know it just keeps going forever? It doesn't stop. It doesn't just eventually, after 500 million years, three. I hit a wall. It's a new thing. Let me tell everybody, let's change all the math books. The number 1 divided by 3 is infinity. That's the best explanation for the Trinity I can come up with. Beyond that, everything falls apart. God, let God be God. I don't reduce him to an egg or water, steam and ice and all the things that we try to understand him as. But there's some neat things, and they can become cool witnessing tools. But ultimately, we need to allow him to be God. So the problem is, it would take an infinite amount of time, which we don't have, to understand these things, to understand even infinity. Yet, I can take a pumpkin pie, who somebody mentioned today, something about a pumpkin pie, in a matter of seconds, divide it into three parts. One pie, three definable parts, yet we run into the infinite in understanding it. It just, think about it in your tree stand. Light is singular, it is one, yet it's infinite in its spectrum, however I perceive it in three. Light is a fascinating subject. It is the first thing God cast into the formless void. You can think of the formless void like a canvas, an artist ready to go. What is a canvas? It's nothing. You can't, you know, there's nobody who goes by and says, wow, what a canvas. But that formless void that started everything, what was the first thing God put in? He put light into it. He put light into it. It represents who he was. An artist will portray themselves on the canvas, whether their emotions or their own physical, whatever they look like, you know, a self-portrait. But God is using light, something of his substance, and casting on our creation so we can glean things from this created light and understand God. Romans 1 supports that. That no one has an excuse. Even if the scripture didn't even come to you, you can go outside, you can experience his creation and understand some of these things, even specifically about God. It is a fascinating subject. It is something God created that represents him. Praise God. This is the year of light. We talked about that last week as we're introducing this topic this week. This is the year of light. United Nations says 2015 is the year of light. In fact, they just at the end of October had a convention. It was about light. 12,000 people got together in Britain and they celebrated light. They had light cubes, they had laser shows, and they had light paintings. Light painting. Kind of like what God did on a formless void. Painting with light. You can go to a fireworks show, and that's a type of painting with light. Capturing still shots of the fireworks against that black darkness. You have the light show. Laser light shows. Again, painting with light. If we look at Genesis, God painted light, something that would represent him, into a dark, formless void. Matter, energy, and light were not created together, but separately. He made material, in particular water, in space for that material to exist in, but the light had not entered in yet. It was formless. It was even void. This is fascinating from a science standpoint. E equals mc squared did not exist yet. It was just the M, the material, the canvas was there. Just a dark canvas. For how long was it like that? We cannot even answer that. Because time didn't even exist as we know it. There was no light to frame its dimensions, the dimensions of time. You couldn't say on the first day in verse 1, he said, in the beginning. It was just a starting point. We see light complete the equation in verse 3. Light created directly from God. Not the light from fission and fusion of a burning star, but light directly from God who is light. What was this first light like? Was it speed infinite for the first day? That would explain the distance to which matter is spread in the universe as we observe today. The distance that we see from one galaxy to the other. With this light that God spoke in, matter became energized. Atomic forces took effect. Electrons and protons in the appropriate configurations, making the building blocks of things, the natural laws, as we have come to know them today. With light, time began, as we know it to be now. And the first day was marked off. There was no life, just the canvas of creation being set for you and me. Life began with the plant kingdom on day 3, which would be the receivers of light and the factories of light. They would be the provision for you and I as consumers of sugars and starches, that these light factories would produce. The animals would come on day five. We run on light. When Jesus speaks of light, my eyes are wide open. He is speaking about truths that shape and define the material of our being. From that point in Genesis, energy, mass, and light persist inseparably in a space-time continuum until the day that Patty read about, that God rolls it up like a scroll. Even the sun and the stars will no longer be needed because He will be the light. So from Genesis chapter 1, we go to Revelation 22, which she read. And there will be no night there, and they need no candle or lamp, neither the light of the sun even. For the Lord gives them light, that perfect light, not the slow light that we have now. It's very fast, but it's slow compared to His infinite light. We'll have the perfect light then. We won't need these kind of things. These are mere shadows. They're on the canvas. We want to hang with the painter himself, the creator, who is light. That's going to be really cool. It's not hard to see that an infinite light will break us out of being creatures in the created finite or slow light, that we have mass now, and we can only be in one place at a time, you know, and everything is kind of slow. Everything's going to change when we're in the presence of an infinite light. Everything's going to change. The really cool thing is you don't have to wait for that day that Patty spoke of. You can be translated by the light of God today, right now. His very nature today. We call it being born again, or more literally, being born from above. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, speaking of your fleshly existence, but of the incorruptible, something that's eternal and infinite. When you become born again, it's not some physical thing that comes into you. It's something of God's nature that enters into you, something that's infinite, it's incorruptible, it's eternal. And he says that in 1 Peter 1:23. But of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides for how long? Forever. Infinity. It's all over the scripture. You can put a little, 1 Peter 1:23, you can put your little sign there in math, of the 8 that fell over. Read John chapter 3 to get more understanding of this. This light that enters in and having it right now. Let's do that together. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So he wasn't just a regular Pharisee, but really up there. The same came to Jesus by the night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. He came to him at night. Thou art a teacher from God, come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou dost except God be with him. His eyes were open. His lamp was working. This lamp that Jesus is talking about of the eye, it was working in Nicodemus. He recognized who Jesus was, that he was from God. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, said, Truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, that's your first birth, and of the Spirit, that's your second, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. We're all experience that first one. The second one is a choice. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, and you hear the sound thereof, and cannot tell where it comes and whither it goes. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. It's not a human thing that we manufacture. I can't make a box of the Spirit and give it to you. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? How can it be? What's the answer? And Jesus said, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, truly, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Speaking of earthly things in verse 12, and ye believe not, how shall I tell you heavenly things? Something of a different realm. He's got the earthly goggles on. How does it work for my understanding of earth and creation around me? And Jesus said, this is beyond all of this. It's of heaven. The Spirit, the seed of the Spirit, this incorruptible seed that you receive, is nothing of this earth. It's from heaven. We ask Jesus Christ to cleanse us from our sin. We believe that He died on the cross. And we ask God to come and take residence up in us. Come live in us. Jesus, live in my heart. Come into my heart. And the seed from heaven, God wishes none should perish, no matter what you've done. That incorruptible seed is for you and for today and for now. I think I'm getting it now. Someone might say in John chapter 3, or Nicodemus might say, I'm not lit up until I have His light. Give me more. How does this happen? Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. The Holy Spirit is provided by the vehicle, Jesus Christ. It's like a Brinks truck that was delivered to you and me through time coming at us. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the promise given to him, fulfilled in Jesus Christ, delivered to you and me. The gift of God, the incorruptible seed, the real light. Note the translation from kingdom of darkness to kingdom of light. I find it interesting, in the future there will be no night, there will be no darkness. Why was it there in the beginning? We know biologically we have circadian rhythms that we, in our body, goes in and produces melatonin towards the evening, and that shuts our body down, and it starts another process of dreams and rebuilding and restoring. So there's a rest aspect of it now, this separation that he has. There's a certain rest. Why do we need rest? Because there's a matter of choosing between light and darkness. There's war down here. There's a struggle down here of choosing God from our free will. We need rest, and we need to rest in God. But it does intrigue me to keep pondering these things. Why didn't He start with light? In the beginning, God created light. Why doesn't it just say that? Then He brings material into the light. That's not how it went. There are popular theories out there. You will hear about these, so you want to talk about them when they come up. Like the gap theory. Who's heard of that? The gap theory in Genesis. It explains that there was billions of years from Genesis 1:1 to Genesis 1:2. And it's trying to explain different things that we experience out there as we're looking at this world around us. But that's nowhere close to reality. It's an oversimplified idea, looking through the lens of our understanding, as Nicodemus was, looking through the earthly glasses and trying to understand how things were then by how we perceive things now. To me, ideas like that are not seeing the forest through the trees. The forest is who God is. We can be stuck on things, on how He created or how long it took and why, but we'd be studying the trees when we shouldn't lose sight of the forest, which is God Himself, our Creator, light, who is making us into vessels of light. His children of light, that was read several times this morning. Sons and daughters of the Most High. So we know it in Genesis that God divided light from darkness. We know that what that means physically, but how does that reflect what's happening in the mind of this Creator God that made us? I think the answer is much more mysterious and more wonderful than the gap theory. But the fact that God created something unique here, creatures with a free will. In order to do that, light was divided from darkness. Something was divided, something was partitioned. Physically, night and day, but perhaps a reflection of the free will we have to reject God or stand in His light and love. Just some conjecture, some thoughts this morning. It is clear in our disobedience, however, Adam and Eve were hiding. For their first time in their life, when they disobeyed God, when they stepped out of the light, they were hiding from the light. Ashamed of the light, needing covering. And so begins our sordid history of dealing with light and darkness. In fact, two kingdoms represented by darkness and light. In the raw material where formless voids exist and free will is forged, God created you and me. Not for our own glory, but His. Not for your glory, but His. This leads us to the why. God is love. Love begets love. It reproduces love. A couple in love will find themselves in the way of a family. Love begets or reproduces love. As children of God, born from the substance of light, experience the product of light, which is love. Let me read that one more time. As children of God, born from the substance of light, the incorruptible seed from above, we experience the product, the produce of that light, which is love. Let's look at that process of light to love in Romans 5. We got to close up here pretty quick. Romans 5, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It starts there at the cross of Jesus Christ. It doesn't start anywhere else, but being covered completely head to toe with the blood of Jesus Christ. Everything you've ever done in your life, covered, whether it's good or bad. Yeah, that thing that was really good that you're proud of, it's not good enough. It has to be covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. It all starts there. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It starts there with peace with God. We're good with God now because of the blood that's been dumped over us and the blood of Jesus Christ that says that your sins needed covering. They stink before a holy God. You were enemies before God until God sent His Son. And He took our death on that cross and paid for it. Will you believe it? It starts there. The light starts there. Romans 5:1, and it continues in Romans 5:2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. That's crazy. We can do something as nuts as glorifying God in the midst of tribulation, in the valley of the shadow of death. Knowing that tribulation, that God works all things, everything. God works all things to good for those that love Him and are called according to His purposes. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. We are crazy that way to the world. They think we're nuts. Knowing that tribulation works patience. God can work it to good. Oh, that's happening. God can work it to good. That's happening. God can work it to good. He's that good. In patience, experience, and experience hope. And hope, here's where light and love are connected. Romans 5:1 to Romans 5:5. You have that circle going. And hope makes not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Light children produce love. They are producers of love. This, in a nutshell, describes a follower of Christ. You want to know what a Christian is? That's the answer. Repeat everything I just said for the last half hour. We're translated by the light, producers of love. We are creatures that are translated by light, producing love. Yes, we're following Christ. Formless, dark, then light entering into our life. It's not hard for me to believe in Genesis that God created everything, that there's formless void. And he said, let there be light, and then planets formed, and then the plants came, and then the animal kingdom, and all that. It's not hard for me to believe that. Because it happened to me. This is me. This is old Paul Myers right up here. This old dumb rock. Just a formless void. Just a dumb rock. Paul, you're a dumb rock. I know I was. But God said, let there be light. That light, the incorruptible seed, has come into me. I'm a new creature now. Behold, that means look, everything is new. Everything is new. I don't look through the eyes of this rock anymore. And that's the point of Jesus in the scripture. It's in your eye being healthy. He says, take heed, be careful, look out for the eye, how you perceive things. Use the eye that I have given you, the new eyes that you have. Everything should be new how you look at it, not the way you used to look at it. Mr. Potato over there. The new eyes I have given you. Not any compromise with these eyes. Don't go there. Look through the eyes of the light that God has given you. We'll talk more about using our eyes properly next week. Praise God. I believe someone has a victory even now this morning. You've entered into that place and you know it's your time to walk with the Lord in a way you've never had before. I invite you to receive the Holy Spirit now. Just believe with me that Jesus died for you on the cross. That you are a creature, a simple creature in need of a Savior. That's me, Lord. That's the rock. Lord, shine your light on the rock, on that formless void. Lord, make me into your child, something of purpose, something of meaning. The old eyes I had that looked at the world for what I can get, Lord, I want new eyes and walk in the newness of life, walk in the Spirit. I pray for those that are desiring your Spirit, they would be filled right now, the incorruptible seed, that light would enter in. Close your eyes and just ask Jesus to enter into your life. Step off the throne of control and allow him on there. Allow the God of light to start working in your life. We praise you, Lord God, for the victory of the people that are doing that right now, Lord God, that are confessing you and receiving you and desiring to walk in truth. Your Holy Spirit is awesome, Lord God, and that person's being filled right now, Lord God. We thank you, Jesus. You're going to start experiencing gifts that you haven't experienced before. These are new abilities, gifts of wisdom, discernment, things you haven't been able to do before, you're going to be able to do. Things are going to look different to you, that's all right, those are your new eyes. People are going to encourage you to put on the old eyes, say no! Them old eyes just don't work, they can't see 2 feet beyond my own nose. I want your eyes, Lord. I want to walk forward in your light. Thank you, Jesus Christ. We pray for the rest of this afternoon, our gathering over at the Legion there, Lord God, that there would be divine appointments, Lord. Lead us in that way. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
You give
life.
You are love.